Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
One of the topics I get a lot of requests for is right to repair. And I haven't talked about it much on this channel yet because, number one, it's a broad topic. There's a lot to discuss there. And there's a lot of people who are talking about some other channels doing a great job of it, but it's an extremely important topic. And the idea is that if you buy a product, okay, there's a whole host of products that supplies to anything from a cell phone to a laptop to an industrial tractor for a large-scale farming enterprise. And you buy something like that and you own it and it has a warranty on it from the manufacturer. If something goes wrong with it that you can fix, do you have the right to fix it yourself or will that void the warranty? And this is a topic that's been around for a long, long time. There's a whole field of law on this, and a lot of it's governed by the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act, which, by the way, is a law that is in almost every lawsuit I've ever filed in my entire career, because lemon law claims are under state law, and we often file a companion claim under the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act, because it has sections dealing with breaches of warranty and so on. So the interesting thing is that right to repair right now is becoming a big deal, because a lot of companies are saying, you cannot work on our stuff. If we sell it to you, you cannot work on it, even if it's not a warranty repair. So that gets you into an area that is quite confusing and problematic. And a gentleman named Nathan Proctor, who is with the USPIRG.org, which is the public interest research groups, the U.S. collection of them, and different states often have their own public interest research group, they are getting into this right to repair thing very, very big. And so they ran an article recently, and I saw the article, and I sent Nathan a note, and I said, I love that article. It summarizes it so well. And again, there's a lot that we could talk about here, but I think a great entry point is this article. And I'll put a link to the article below in the description. But the article is entitled Warranties in the Void 2, Roman numeral 2. And when you buy a new appliance, you have an expectation that it will work, at least for a few years. Sometimes it might break down earlier than that, though. So you call up the manufacturer to see about getting it fixed under warranty. Sometimes they fix it, and sometimes they refuse. And sometimes they take so long that you're forced to find another way to fix the product, or you might just give up and buy a new one. And in 2018, when USPIRG first put out Warranties in the Void, which is a report, they found significant problems with appliance manufacturer warranties, including the widespread assertion that warranties would be voided due to independent or self-repair. Okay? So we've all seen the sticker on a computer or another electronic device, and it says, in essence, break this sticker, void the warranty. VHS machines are famous for that. You know, you look inside and you'd see that. So nearly all appliances or electronic devices come with some form of written warranty to clarify when repairs will be covered and under what conditions. When manufacturers choose to provide written or express warranties, there are laws that govern how they work. The guidelines from the Federal Trade Commission, which is the agency that oversees this, advise that, generally, the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act prohibits warrantors from conditioning warranties on the consumer's use of a replacement product or repair service identified by brand or name, with some exceptions, which we'll get to in a moment. So the best example I can give you of that is when they used to say, you've got to use our parts in our item. So if you bought a car, okay, you buy a Ford Motor Company car, and you go to take it for an oil change, do you have to use a Ford oil filter? Do you have to use Ford oil? Do you have to take it to a Ford dealer to let them change the oil? And now most people know the answer is no, you don't. Of course not. That's silly. No one's made that argument for years. And the reason they don't make the argument anymore is because the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act clearly says they can't do that. As long as the filter you're using is appropriate and the oil is appropriate, it doesn't matter what brand it is. And so the idea of tying parts like that or service like that to the warranty, they cannot do that. So Ford cannot say, we're going to void your warranty if you don't use one of our oil filters. And that's been settled law forever. But according to the 2018 report that they put out, 45 out of the 50 appliance companies they surveyed stated they void warranty coverage due to independent or self-repair. We presented our findings to the FTC in hopes that, just as the agency had done to six companies earlier in 2018, they would warn non-compliant companies to address issues. But without public action from the FTC, we began to wonder if the earlier warnings, as well as the FTC's Nixing the Fix workshop and investigation, had created enough pressure on manufacturers to improve conditions for warranties. The Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act has a whole bunch of stuff in it that's good. It also says that the Federal Trade Commission is empowered to look into and help enforce this law. And a lot of what they do by enforcement means is simply clarify the law. They put out rulings and explanations on what the law is. But they also can go after bad actors and seek to have the law followed by big companies. So the FTC can clamp down and say, hey, you guys are breaking the law. Straighten out or we're going to come after you. And don't want feds after you, so you straighten up. Well, interestingly, back in 2018, USPIRG got together and contacted 50 companies and just simply asked a question. And 45 of them actually came out and said, no, that'll void your warranty. It'll void your warranty if you do that. So they turned that information over to the FTC and said, what are you guys going to do about it? They did nothing. Our tax dollars, hard at waste. Meanwhile, the appliance repair demand has surged in the pandemic. Factors include the increased use of home appliances as more people are home and fewer people buying new appliances as both retail operations are restricted and the supply chain is interrupted by COVID. As repair needs surge, it can lead to delays in warranty service. When you can't get a necessary appliance repaired in a timely manner under warranty terms, you might opt to attempt a repair yourself or hire another repair technician to solve the issues. Unfortunately, in the survey they conducted now, just in the fall of 2020, they found that all of the 43 companies they surveyed indicated that warranties be voided due to independent repair. Doesn't matter if the repairs are done correctly. Doesn't matter. They'll void your warranty. These companies either had clauses in their warranties which claimed repair would void coverage, or their warranties were unclear, but their customer service representatives stated that it would void the warranty when asked. And here is the problem. It is illegal, per se, out and out, carved in stone, take this down from the mountaintops and give it to the people. It is absolutely illegal for a company to put in their warranty, doing this work will void your warranty. That is against the law. The Federal Trade Commission has dropped the ball by not pursuing claims when it's been pointed out to them. Here are 43 companies, and many of them break the law by putting right in their warranty that your warranty is voided if you do any work on it that we don't approve. Okay? That is a violation of the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act just on its face. Okay? So, conditioning a warranty to forbid independent repair is generally understood to be a violation of Magnuson-Moss. Guys, step it up. It's not just generally understood. It is. Further, we found three companies didn't make warranties readily accessible prior to purchasing a product, which is another consumer right guaranteed under Magnuson-Moss. Have you ever bought something and it says in the packaging, or you've read it online and it says comes with a warranty? You bring it home, you bust the shrink wrap off, you open it up, and you pull out this warranty booklet. It's in 17 different languages, but English is one of them. And you're reading the language of this contract, and this warranty language is tiny little type. And buried in there is a bunch of weird stuff, including any work you do by yourself is going to void the warranty, even if you do the work right. Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act says that the warranty terms must be something you can see before you make the purchase, because that's something you're buying when you buy the product. You're not just buying a product. You're buying a product and its warranty. If it came without a warranty, I presume you wouldn't buy it. Therefore, the warranty is a material part of the purchase. So if you're buying a product with a warranty, you have a right to know what the warranty says. Now, a lot of companies will put those online now, but this was a bigger problem, especially back before the internet was a thing, because you'd go to a store and you'd see something that's in a shrink wrap box, like I said, outside said, you know, 3-year warranty. And you open it up and it's got a bunch of exclusions in there, some of which are illegal. So we believe that our findings reinforce the need for the Federal Trade Commission to step up their enforcement of Magnuson-Moss. 2 years after these issues were raised, customers are still being told that they cannot repair their own devices when independent repair may be more convenient or efficient for their specific needs. COVID-19 has further underscored why consumers must be given the option of repair choices without losing their warranties. Companies can and should address these issues without waiting for additional enforcement actions, but it's become clear that this is unlikely. Not only do previously cataloged issues persist, but there's no evidence that warnings to other companies or a public workshop on repair restrictions made any impact on how appliance manufacturers treat their warranties in regards to the right to independent repair. And this all came to my attention because Nathan Proctor was tweeting a bunch of things about this, and someone I know retweeted it, and then I went back and I read his thread, and he showed screen grabs where they would simply contact a big company and go, hey, I got a question. You know, will it void my warranty if I have work done on this by somebody else, even if they're qualified and do the work right? They go, yeah, that voids your warranty. They just, boom, it voids your warranty. And so they've actually trained the people, assuming there's people behind this on some level doing the responses, to actually tell, yeah, it voids your warranty. It's illegal to do that, but that's what they do. So companies can and should address these issues without waiting for additional enforcement actions, but it's becoming clear that that is unlikely. We believe the prevalence of continued warranty concerns that undermine coverage for repairs also reinforces the need for better access to post-warranty repair. If warranties are unreliable, consumers need more options to keep their products in working order and off the scrap heap, best achieved by enacting right-to-repair reforms. Right-to-repair laws, which have been introduced in 32 different states prior to 2021 and active in 26 states so far, would require companies to make tools, parts, manuals, and schematics available to enable more third-party repair. Post-warranty repair options are limited when manufacturers don't make replacement parts or service manuals available to consumers or independent repair shops. So right-to-repair laws often address many of these things, but the weird part is that many of these laws are already on the books. The Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act specifically says that it doesn't void your warranty to do these things, and the companies go, yeah, it does. Now, you might say, Steve, this thought process, how does that work? Where does this come from? Have you ever dealt with this before? And I have, all the time. So here's what happens, okay? Let's assume you've got a vehicle that doesn't qualify under the Lemon Law for whatever reason, but it's got a problem. And I've talked about the case, I think, before, but there's a case out of Alaska, believe it or not, called, I believe it's Waldock versus BMW. And in that case, a man had a car, and he's driving along one day, and the transmission went kaplooey. And I believe kaplooey is, in fact, a term of art. And so he took it into the BMW dealership, and they go, oh, you abused your car and caused this harm. So we're going to deny your warranty coverage. Now, here's the interesting thing. If the warranty covers the transmission for defects in material and workmanship, and he hasn't abused his car, he has a right to make a claim under the warranty. If he has abused the car, they actually have a right to make that claim. But how does this get settled? And this is actually the problem. This is the problem. So for those of you who've made it this far, I'm now going to give you the answer. Because this is the problem, and this is what causes the problem. Man says, transmission went kaplooey. Dealership says, abuse. The Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act actually says that manufacturers do not have to warrant or honor warranties. Things that were abused or misused if that's what caused the failure. So obviously, if you abuse something and break it, it's not covered by warranty. We know that. That makes sense. But what happens where there's that argument, the tension between the two sides where one side says, I didn't abuse it, it's a warranty claim, and they go, you did abuse it, that voids your claim. By the way, the idea that something voids your entire warranty is also wrong. Because why would it void your entire warranty, for instance, if you used an aftermarket battery and the claim you're making has to do with your deck lid not opening properly to get into your trunk? But another story altogether. So the only way to resolve that conflict between abuse or defect in the transmission I'm telling you about is to litigate it. To litigate it. Because they're going to go, no, sue us. The good news is the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act says that if you're forced to sue a warrantor and you win, they got to pay your attorney fees and court costs. Problem is that many attorneys won't take these cases for fear that it's not a winner. And are we going to litigate till the cows come home on a warranty claim like this? Because number one, they're going to throw all their resources at defending it. And number two, even if we win, a judge might say, well, you know something, it's only a $5,000 claim, $10,000 claim, whatever the claim might be. I don't know what a BMW transmission costs. I'm just talking about repairs in general with respect to warranty claims, $5,000, $10,000 claims. Try to get a judge to give you $50,000 in attorney fees and a $10,000 claim. Sometimes they don't want to do that. So attorneys might not take these cases. So getting back to let's go with the absurd example. The oil filter. Okay. So your engine fails and you take it back to the dealership. Hey, my engine failed. And they go, yeah, we found this weird aftermarket oil filter. We don't like this oil filter. And you go, that's a major brand oil filter. They've been around for as long as Ford has. They go, doesn't matter. We're going to void your warranty claim because we think this filter caused the problem. Now, you're at the same impasse the guy with the BMW was. Got to file a lawsuit against the manufacturer and say, I had a warranty. And the engine went kaplooey. They do that too. And as a result of that, I would like the engine replaced under warranty. They won't do it. Therefore, I'm suing for that, plus attorney fees and court costs. And they're going to say, oh, no, guy used an aftermarket subpar oil filter, and that caused the failure. Now, the interesting thing is that courts have ruled as to who has to prove what in a case like that. So you've got to prove that you had the product, it had a warranty, and the failure you describe does fit that warranty coverage, at least on its face, and that you had a failure that fits that, you're good. Boom. That's what you have to prove. It has to be then be proven by the other side that what they're pointing to caused the failure, abuse, misuse, or an improper product being used, for instance, like the oil filter. And so a jury or a court would be asked, okay, did the plaintiff prove the basis of the warranty claim? If so, then did the defendant prove the basis of their denial? So if the plaintiff proves this and they fail, plaintiff wins. Plaintiff proves this and defendants prove this, then they prevail. Plaintiff gets nothing. And all of these manufacturers know that if you've got an appliance and it's got some little part that broke inside of it, and you took it to an appliance repair place, instead of sending it in for warranty works, that's a nightmare, and the appliance repair place just fixed that little part, and then later on something else breaks, and these people say, and they send it in for, and oh, hey, look, someone else has been in here, and that's not our work. We have no record of that. We're going to deny your claim because you had that work done by somebody who's not an authorized repair facility. We're going to void your warranty. Well, are you going to file a lawsuit over a $35 appliance? You can if you want to, especially if you can find an attorney who will take it. But an attorney's not going to want to take that case because they're going to say, look, you know, the filing fee for the lawsuit's more than that thing cost by a factor of 10. And then we got to litigate. So they know that most consumers are not in a position to do anything about this and nothing will ever get done. It gets us back to the Federal Trade Commission, which is empowered to enforce the law, but doesn't. So I talk about civil asset forfeiture, qualified immunity. I think I'm going to add to the list now right to repair. And right to repair is being fought on several fronts. They're trying to make it law in states to force these manufacturers and these warrantors to provide the necessary tools and so on, and also to allow this without voiding warranties. But another front of this is the Federal Trade Commission. Our tax dollars go to, among other things, the support of this entity in Washington, D.C., the Federal Trade Commission, that is empowered to oversee and make sure the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act is being followed by big companies. And they're not doing their job right now. So we've got to do what we can to get on that. Like I said, several fronts we're working on. And one of them is the legislatures and the legislation. And another one is the Federal Trade Commission trying to jab at them and get them to do their work. So we'll get right on that. Add that to the list. Like I said, Nathan Proctor sent it to me. Warranties in the Void 2. I'll put a link in the description below. USPIRG.org. Generated the report and posted it. Thanks a lot, guys. You're doing great work. Questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Have enough sense to know ahead of time when your skills will not extend to wallpapering.